100 years since the United States entered World War I, more than 4,000 Americans remain missing in action. Defense Department MIA efforts only go back as far as World War II. Locating these earlier MIAs has become a passion for my next guest. Historian and author Robert Laplander heads up the Doughboy MIA team for the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission, and he joins me now. Mr. Laplander, good to have you on.
Good morning.
What is it that sets you to this task of all the possibilities of finding people lost for more than a century?
Actually, it started with a dog tag that was sent to me back in 2005. I had recently finished a book on the lost battalion of World War I, and a French battlefield archaeologist had come across a dog tag on the site where that battle happened and sent it to me, and it was from a missing in action soldier from that unit. So we started to research him, and it snowballed over the years, over the last 12 years, into Doughboy MIA. Our mission is to account for the 4,223 that are still missing and try to find out exactly what happened to them and if it's possible to recover and identify any remains that we might come across in our adventures.
If they had been listed missing in action way back when, what means are there now to account for what might have happened, much less find them?
In 1973, the National Personnel Records Center in St. Louis had a devastating fire that burned almost all service records between 1910 and 1964. Fortunately for our project, every soldier that died during the First World War had a burial file opened on them, and the burial files were not in St. Louis when the fire happened. In reading through the burial files of each one of the missing, it gives you clues as to what happened. The Graves Registration Service, following the war, did a phenomenal job at collecting and identifying remains, and for years afterwards chased after the MIAs trying to find where they might be or what happened to them. So their reports are usually in these burial files. And I can't give them enough credit. When you stop to think about at that time, they did a monumental task. They handled over 80,000 burials, and they did the whole thing with paper forms and shoeboxes full of index cards. Today, with computers, we can do matching software, and we have technology at our fingertips for the field that they didn't have: ground penetrating radar, deep penetration metal detectors, things of that sort. What we do is we try to contrast and compare searchers' reports from that time period. And if we can go out on the battlefield and we think we might have a chance at location of a set of remains, we'll make the attempt.
So there is an official list of these 4,223, and there are burial records for many, many more. So that's kind of your source material to begin the searches.
Yeah, that's our starting point. Following the war, when they created the war cemeteries, the American Battle Monuments Commission was born, and they are the ones who oversee anything having to do with American military cemeteries overseas and here in the States. And they maintain an entire death database from the First World War, everybody that they buried, everybody that they sent home, and those who are still missing in action. The current case that we've got going right now, it was a seaman from Baltimore, Maryland, who disappeared in 1917. He was washed overboard, but his name was inadvertently omitted from the list. He never made it on the list. This information was brought to my attention by a professor down that way, and we started doing the research, and lo and behold, there he was. So we petitioned the American Battle Monuments Commission for his inclusion on what they call the Tablets of the Missing. Each cemetery has a tablet in stone, and engraven on it are the names of the missing. And later on this summer, his name will be engraved in Brookwood, England, on the Tablet of the Missing, where they put those who were lost at sea.
We're speaking with historian and author Robert Laplander, who heads up the Doughboy MIA team. And that's a great ending to the story. When his name is engraved there, are there any living relatives that might be able to witness that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the professor who contacted me, a fellow named Stephen Genrich, was in contact with this fellow's niece, with Seaman Renshaw's niece, who lives in Florida. As I understand it, I haven't talked to her yet, but as I understand it, she's thrilled.
Because she probably is elderly herself at this point.
Oh, I would imagine so. The biggest question that I get about this from people is, why are you doing this? When you consider that virtually everybody that knew these people is gone now, and all their families died without knowing what happened to them, you know, why would you do this? And my answer is always, why not? America brings her dead home. America identifies her dead. We honor them. And if we have a chance to do this, why wouldn't we? The passage of time shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Do you get any assistance at all from the U.S. military, from the Defense Department?
The Defense POW MIA accounting agency, their mission only goes back to World War II. When they can help us, if they can help us, they have offered. They've been the model of help when they could be. The American Battle Monuments Commission helps us at every turn. They have been nothing but cooperative. The National Archives especially has been extremely cooperative in this in helping us find the things we need. The one thing that we do not have is the set of files for the unknowns that are buried overseas. That paperwork seems to have disappeared someplace. That's been the focal point of a lot of our efforts for the last 12 years, is to find those missing files for the unknowns. So if a listener knows where they are, feel free to contact us.
So in addition to the lost battalion, you've also got the lost paperwork.
Yeah, and this is proving a lot harder to find than they were.
Now, when you talk to the Defense Department about its MIA activities, one of the things they point out is of the, I believe the number is something like 40,000 going back to World War II, a great many of them were lost at sea in World War II naval battles. And so they acknowledged that those remains can never be found because they're deep, deep, deep at the bottom of the ocean. In the case of World War II, is it fair to say most of the missing casualties would be on land?
Of the 4,223, about half are missing at sea or buried at sea. So that half it's consumerate. We know where they are. We're in the process of actually weeding that out into a separate list on the website. In the case of Seaman Renshaw that we're talking about, his anniversary of his death is Monday, his 100th anniversary. Yeah, we know where he went. And there was no question there. When it comes to the remainder, there's about 1,700, we estimate, that are still out on the battlefield. There's somewhere close to 1,000 unknown graves over in France and Belgium. Some of those, I'm sure, with a little bit more digging, we might be able to identify them if we can find that missing paperwork. I know of at least two that we could identify. So one of those things that, is there going to be tremendous success? Are we going to be doing what the DPAA is doing with World War II, identifying 15 or 20 a month? No. In most cases, we won't be able to do anything. But in those cases that we can, I think that we owe it to those men to do everything we can.
And you mentioned earlier that you had received a dog tag that was found by someone examining a battlefield in Europe, in France. How often does that happen? Just as many Americans like to go over the Civil War battlefields here and look for artifacts and sometimes come up with something significant, does it happen that often in the European battlefields?
As a matter of fact, it does. They find quite a few things. Every year, there's 90 tons of junk that turns up on battlefields just from World War I, still to this day. Most of it is ordnance and, you know, the detritus of war. Occasionally, the dog tags are found. Most often, the dog tags were just dropped by soldiers in their day-to-day lives, and they received replacements. Most of the time, it's not the men that were killed in action. When you come across something like this that was found at the site for someone who was definitely killed and who is definitely missing in action, that raises a lot of questions. And when we got it, we immediately got out the shovel and started digging to find what we could on this fella. Eventually, we discovered, after about a year, I discovered that their family historian lives about 10 miles from me. So we were able to follow this man's family from Ireland all the way up until he was buried in the battlefield. And he was actually moved from his battlefield grave to the Meuse-Argonne Cemetery, to what they call a collection grave or a concentration grave, where he was put until they tried to identify him. When they could not identify him, that's when he was put in his permanent grave. Now, if we found the paperwork that we're looking for, it would show that a certain set of remains was in a certain grave that we know the sort of grave address to, and moved to another one, a permanent grave. and we would have our man.
Wow. And what's going to keep this work going indefinitely into the future?
We operate mainly through volunteer. We've got two guys, two very good men overseas, that when we need something done on the battlefield, as a matter of fact, one of them was over in France on Saturday walking some ground for us, and we believe that we may have pinpointed a certain trench where a certain individual was buried and not located at the end of the war. We may be able to mount an expedition and see if he's still there, see if we're right. As far as anything else goes, we're not funded by the United States government. We're not funded by the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission. We're funded by private sources, private donations, and largely out of my own pocket. So it goes on as long as people care.
Historian and author Robert Laplander heads up the Doughboy MIA team for the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission. Thanks so much for joining me, and a sacred Memorial Day to you.
Thank you, sir. You as well.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.